Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, August 18th, is the feast of St. Agapetus, martyr, and of St. Helena, empress and mother of the Emperor Constantine. And these are today's headlines. Catholic communicators are called to share stories that enhance peace as the Cygnus World Congress draws to a close. The head of the World Health Organization says the situation in Tigray in Ethiopia is the worst humanitarian crisis on Earth. And Pope Francis makes a charitable donation to Sri Lankans in the face of a continuing crisis in that country. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, the three-day Cygnus World Conference in Seoul, South Korea, has come to a close, with Catholic media practitioners pledging not just to report on events as they happen, but to actively engage in supporting stories that enhance peace. Father Paul Samasuma is the vice director of Cygnus and is in South Korea for the Congress. He has this report on the conclusion of the event.
Before close of the Cygnus World Congress, Russia's Dmitry Muratov made a passionate appeal for media freedom and for journalists across the world to resist state repression and state-sponsored propaganda. Muratov is the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize laureate. He addressed the Cygnus World Congress via Zoom link. According to Muratov, propaganda narratives aim to normalize atrocities that states commit or intend to commit. Media outlets not supporting the government line are harassed, demonized, or branded as traitors. Sometimes journalists are thrown into jail. Also, before close of the Cygnus World Congress, K-pop or Korean popular music producers were happy to share with Cygnus delegates the amazing success story of Korean pop culture. In just a few years, K-pop music, Korean soap operas, and Korean films have become a global industry amassing millions of dollars every year. The whole K-pop phenomenon has an elaborate promotional and marketing strategy that ranges from social media use to armies of fan clubs across the globe. With the conclusion of the Cygnus World Congress, Catholic media practitioners also adopted a statement recognizing their own crucial role in building a peaceful society. They pledged to elevate in creative ways stories that promote justice, equity, and ecological conversion. In Seoul, South Korea, for Vatican News, I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
Turning now to world news, the World Health Organization's Director General, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, calls the conflict-ridden province of Tigray in Ethiopia the worst humanitarian crisis in the world today, with 6 million people unable to access basic services. Lydia O'Kane has the latest.
The worst disaster on Earth. That's how the head of the World Health Organization on Wednesday described the ongoing crisis in Ethiopia's Tigray region. Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who is himself from Tigray, said the situation caused by the conflict in his home country is worse than any other humanitarian crisis in the world. He said that the 6 million people in Tigray have been under siege for the last 21 months, and nowhere in the world would you see this level of cruelty. The conflict in Ethiopia began in November 2020. When Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed launched a military offensive against the Tigray People's Liberation Front. Fighting has continued in a conflict that has killed tens of thousands of people and has forced millions to become displaced. The ongoing fighting has also raised concerns about widespread starvation, as the UN estimates hundreds of thousands of people in Tigray are facing famine-like conditions. The TPLF had dominated Ethiopian politics for decades, but clashed with the government of Prime Minister Ahmed after he came to power in 2018. The WHO chief pointed out that the people of Tigray had no access to medicine and telecommunications and were prevented from leaving the region. The only thing we ask is, can the world come back to its senses and uphold humanity, he said. Tedros noted that while all the focus is being put on the conflict in Ukraine, it is to the detriment of the situation in Tigray.
The humanitarian crisis in Tigray is more than Ukraine, without any exaggeration. And I said it many months ago, maybe the reason is the color of the skin of the people in Tigray. I haven't heard in the last several months now, even a head of state talking about the Tigray condition anywhere.
The Director General is calling on the Ethiopian government to resolve the conflict in Tigray. He also urged the Russian government to end the war in Ukraine. WHO Emergencies Director Mike Ryan also criticised the lack of concern about the drought and famine unfolding in the Horn of Africa and the ensuing health crisis. The WHO has called for $123.7 million to tackle the health problems resulting from the growing humanitarian crisis in the region, where around 200 million people live and millions are going hungry.
That was Lydia Kane and reporting on the words of the director of the World Health Organization. Elsewhere in world news, in Central Asia, a huge blast at a packed mosque in Kabul in Afghanistan on Wednesday killed more than 20 people and injured dozens more. The apparent bomb attack occurred during evening prayers. Father Benedict Mayaki has this report.
A huge explosion ripped through a crowded mosque in the Afghan capital, Kabul, on Wednesday, killing at least 21 people, police said. Multiple casualties were also sustained during the blast, with Afghan police saying that as many as 33 people may have been injured and the toll could rise further. The Italian-run emergency hospital in Kabul said on Twitter that it had received 27 people so far following the explosion in the PD-17 area. Five of them were children, including a seven-year-old. Two of the patients arrived dead, while one died in the emergency room. Wednesday's blast occurred during evening prayers, with the mosque's imam reportedly among the dead, according to news reports. The blast scene has been sealed off by security forces as intelligence teams continue investigations. So far, there has been no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack. However, the so-called Islamic State's local affiliate has emerged as a potent enemy of the Taliban, who seized control of Afghanistan last year following the withdrawal of US and NATO troops. In the past month, three prominent religious leaders were targeted in Kabul, and there were assassinations in other cities as well. Last week, the Islamic State claimed responsibility for the killing of a prominent Muslim cleric at his religious center in the capital. This latest explosion on Wednesday comes after 1 year of Taliban rule in Afghanistan. A Taliban spokesperson condemned Wednesday's attack and said that the perpetrators of such crimes will soon be caught and punished for their actions. The Afghanistan country director for the Italian-run emergency hospital in Kabul, Stefano Sozza, said that the country is suffering the consequences of a very long conflict that has undermined its future. According to Sozza, the hospital has managed six mass casualty events in the month of August alone, with a total of almost 80 patients. It is also the 16th such event since the beginning of 2022. A U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan that began in 2001 toppled the previous Taliban government. Since the Taliban's return to power in August of last year, Afghanistan has been facing a crippling economic crisis. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Also remaining briefly in Asia, the Federation of Asian Bishops, FABC, will be inaugurating its general conference on August 22nd, beginning with a ceremony at the Shrine of Blessed Nicholas Bunkerd Kitbamrung in Bangkok, Thailand. The event will be streamed online and will also be available afterwards on social media pages of the FABC and those of other Catholic news agencies. You can find more information on that event on our website. From the Americas, the presidency of the National Conference of Bishops of Brazil has joined other Latin American bishops in expressing fraternal solidarity and prayerful closeness to the church in Nicaragua. In the face of events endured over the past weeks in Nicaragua, amid growing tensions with the ruling Sandinista regime. Relations between the government and the Catholic Church in the country have been strained for 4 years and further worsened after President Daniel Ortega was confirmed for a fifth term in office in November 2021. On Monday, the Brazilian bishops wrote to the head of the Nicaraguan Episcopal Conference, saying they are praying that peace and justice may be restored in the country. Lisa Zingarini has the latest.
As the church in Nicaragua faces growing harassment from the Sandinista regime, the Brazilian bishops say they feel deeply united with their brother bishops and the entire Nicaraguan people. In a letter sent on August the 15th to the president of the Episcopal Conference of Nicaragua, Bishop Carlos Enrique Herrera Gutierrez, the members of the presidency of the National Conference of Bishops of Brazil wrote that they pray that peace and justice may be achieved in the country. In recent weeks, the Nicaraguan government, led by President Daniel Ortega, has expelled the missionaries of charity, closed 8 Catholic radio stations, arrested 3 priests, and confined in house arrest Bishop Rolando Alvarez and other 5 priests on grounds of using media and social networks to carry out acts of violence and to destabilize the country. In the latest incident, a parish priest of the Diocese of Ciuna was arrested by the police on August the 14th after celebrating Mass and was taken to a detention centre in the capital, Managua. The crackdown has drawn a widespread outcry from Episcopal conferences across Latin America. The Holy See, too, has expressed concerns over the latest developments through its permanent observer to the Organization of American States, who last week called on the parties to find ways of understanding, seeking above all the common good and peace. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Finally, news from here at the Vatican. Pope Francis has given some 100,000 euro to help families of those killed and survivors of the deadly Easter attacks in 2019 in Sri Lanka. The Cardinal of Colombo, Cardinal Malcolm Ranchet, spoke with Deborah Castellano-Lubov about the Pope's generosity, which is destined to reach some 400 families in Sri Lanka.
When I came to Rome and met His Holiness in February this year, he asked me about the welfare of these people, how they are faring, and expressed his concern for their needs. And so he, on his own volition, asked me whether he could help us financially. And I said, okay, we are very grateful to him for that. And he asked me how much. I said, whatever you give will be welcome. And then he told me that he has donation from somebody amounting to 100,000, that he would give me 50,000. And he asked me for the account number of our diocesan funds. And I told that to him. And when I went back in April and checked the accounts, found that he had credited 100,000 to our account. So he had given the full amount. He was extremely helpful to our people. And we are very grateful to him for that concern and for that constant attention that he has been paying the needs of these people.
And how will this support be distributed among families of the victims?
Yeah, we found that due to the economic crisis, they were also in great need of help, and so we decided we are going to give that money now at this moment, and we, having got the money down, we decided to distribute it in an equitable fashion according to the needs of different people and the various challenges that their families were facing. And having worked out a kind of a scheme, we allocated that entire amount among the people, 400 families.
And that was Cardinal Malcolm Ranchet speaking with Deborah Castellano-Lubov. And that's all the time we have for this edition of Vatican and World News. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.